You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Okay, we've got the scripture reading. It's in Hebrews today, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, which were not made of things which do appear. Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, it's amazing how big some of these man-made birds are. The A380 jet, it's got these double-decker things, and they pack in people. That's the jet that Seppi went on when she flew from Dallas down to Sydney. And it's got these four big engines and a massive plane, but very comfortable, according to Seppi. So she had a good flight down. And we're looking forward to, Ruben and I, are looking forward to coming back. In the meantime, we've got to fend for ourselves. So that kitchen, you know, it's going to get a little bit messy. And got to try doing a bit of our own cooking, which we're not too bad at. But my menu's not very varied, you know what I'm saying? Cereal looks good. Campbell's soup. Okay, now let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, for the beautiful weather, the freshness of the air, and the sunshine on our skin, Lord. We pray that we'd remember, Lord, all that we have in bounty here in the U.S. And we ask, Lord, your blessing on the service and the truths that are brought forward. Lord, we pray that we understand more fully thy purpose in us. In Christ's name, amen. Microphone, yeah. You need that on.
Okay, got a green light. Okay. Okay, we're in Genesis, and we're up to part 34, and we've been looking at a lot of really cool issues. But before I get there, I just want to remind us about the season. And I got this picture from the Wall Builders, and you know, when you read about the people that came to the U.S., it's been about 2 months in this rickety thing they call a ship. And it's nothing more than an oversized dinghy if you just look at it, really. I mean, how on earth you could survive on that alone? And then when they get there and they're probably in very poor condition, then you've got to face the elements. You know, the first winter, half of them die. You know, horrendous, really, conditions. But such was their hope that they would come to a new land, find freedom, find that there would be a purpose here in the new world, freedoms where they could worship God without restraint, without persecution. And there's a lot of things we need to remember. And finally, if you look at the history of Thanksgiving, even the early Spaniards that came to the country, they were giving thanks. And it started very early on, and then later on it was discussed in the Constitution. When the time of the Constitution came about, there was a lot of discussion about Thanksgiving and a lot of prayers given. And men and women were involved with the idea that this should be made something that we traditionally remember once a year. And that's really cool. And I certainly think about it a lot. The John Birch Society is a great place to go to find resources about the Constitution. I think that these days we've got to remember that there's an affront going on against the Constitution, the idea of having a constitutional convention where people who have all sorts of ideas want to come together, and perhaps in some cases they've got well-meaning ideas, but in the end, because they don't even agree with themselves on what they want to do, if this ever took place, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of problems. There'll be a lot of problems, and possibly our own liberties would be at risk if such a thing happened. So if you want to find out more information about the Constitution, that's a really cool place to go. I've been listening to a lot of videos there, really cool ones, very, very good. Now, we've been discussing here things pertaining to foundational issues. You know, a lot of things this particular passage here in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's very appropriate to what people are trying to do with the Constitution. And I think when you think about how important the Constitution, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. And people don't seem to know about that and don't seem to care what's going to go on there. So for us, we need to be careful too about the foundations regarding our own age. Because there are ages. If you go to your Bibles in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Okay, so through the faith, a good report will come. And it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, when it says worlds there, the word worlds is actually ages were framed by the word of God. So it's interesting here that the ages have been put together and perfected by the word of God. And when you think about the ages, therefore, you must look for God's footprint in it. You've got to see God's purpose in the ages. And that's what we are discovering. We're discovering a purpose in the ages, and specifically the purpose in this age, the age in which we find ourselves. And that's the point, I think, that's distinctive about this church and churches like it. We are prepared to ask the question, what is God's will for us in this age? You know, people, they want to talk about spiritual lessons from Israel. That's good. There's a lot of spiritual lessons we can get from Israel. But the problem is that the spiritual lessons pertain to a people who were called out under a plan and purpose of fulfilling a hope which has to do with this earth. Have you ever thought perhaps there's a purpose to do with the heavenly places themselves? How about that? You know, I don't see too many sermons about that. And heaven, for many people, is this airy-fairy idea that, you know, there's clouds and little babies, naked babies with little harps and whatever else, floating around. Really weird ideas about heaven, which come from paintings, etc. We're trying to understand what God's will is for us in this age, and it does have to do with a specific hope in the heavenly places. It's a real place. It's not some cloud-like place. It's a real place. And we've come to realize that that purpose relates to a time when Paul was put in prison. And to Paul, there was a fresh revelation given. But here is the issue for us. You see, we're not going to say that we know everything, right? We are prepared to say, yep, we need to be instructed. We need to learn more. And, for example, let me just show you the fact that we are prepared to say, hey, we need to learn more. Look at this in Ephesians chapter number 4. This is Ephesians 4. So this is the practical section. This is, as the theologians would call it, the deportment section. So in chapter 4, it says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles. Well, we don't have apostles here. But wait a minute, Ephesians is written by Paul the prisoner, right? So even though we have something from Paul the prisoner, after the time that the mystery was given, we acknowledge and realize that there certainly were apostles. Paul was one of them, right? Paul was an apostle. He was Paul the prisoner. And then he says, and it says some apostles and some prophets. Prophets. So there were people there who were prophets. And it says, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So what you can see here is that there are two groups, really. There's this supernatural group, apostles and prophets. And then you've got evangelists and pastors and teachers, which we can certainly identify with. We can identify with evangelists, pastors and teachers. And when it says pastors and teachers, we group them together because of the construction of the grammar of this. So we have this. we have this foundational group, which were the apostles and prophets, and then there were these others that would continue. So what am I saying? I am saying that even during the time that the mystery was given, there are things which were happening which are not happening today. Okay, we can confess that. We can learn from that. Okay? Now, the point is that during this time, there was a ministry going on to people who formerly were of another age. They had formerly been given a hope which was related to Israel. And now Paul, after he had been given the revelation of the mystery, is trying to instruct them. Okay? And that's why he says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles. And then it says verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And last time I pointed out that big after that is not there, right? Those gifts and miracles and so on. That was not a normal feature of that and this age. At the beginning, when there were apostles and prophets there, yes, they would have to stir up these gifts in order to try and reach these people that freshly came into the new age. Okay, that's cool. So we can beginning to understand more about this. Now, I'm going to skip through some stuff here because I think if I don't, I'm going to be repeating myself, and we won't go any further than what we had previously. So I'm going to move on. We've talked about the church and how there are many churches in the Bible, and that Paul had a particular manner during the book of Acts where he would go to the synagogue. First, he would go to a synagogue of the Jews, and there he would minister every Sabbath day. Yeah, he was a law-abiding Jew during the book of Acts. He would go to the Jew first. And when they would not accept what he said, he'd say, okay, from henceforth, I'll go to the Gentiles. And then he'd go to the Gentiles in that area, and then finally he would leave that area, and he'd go to another city where he'd go to the Jew first. Again, to the Jew first. That was his calling. And we showed that there was another church, which Paul talks about in Ephesians. And he says in verse 22 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, he says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is body. Now here comes the word, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This filling, this fullness. Why do you need a filling? Well, you need a filling because you've got a cavity. You need a filling because there is a need there. There is an emptiness that needs to be filled. And this idea is extended through the whole Bible. And you find this fullness in Ephesians. Right through here, Ephesians 1:10, 23, 3:19, 4:13, which we will look at. This picture is by C.H. Welsh. And by and large, I agree with this picture. I want you to see something, though, about this picture. This picture, by and large, is an outline of the ages beginning from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and going right to the end, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 24, and then cometh the end. Okay, as you can read there. So you've got this laying out of the ages of the Bible, but they're in terms of some sort of defect that occurs, some sort of rebellion in the context, and then a filling. And then that filling occurs in some kind of typical form, and then later on is resumed. You can find the resumptions in such places as Revelation. So it begins, and then after some time, it gets fulfilled. But you notice where the mystery is. You notice it begins and there is no resumption. It is the fullness itself. And this marks off our time period in a very, very different way, which we'll come to. So this picture is very, very informative. There's lots of different facets to it. And I'll come back to the picture. But I want you to see this word. This word is the word for foundation. and it's katabole. 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 And so what you have is in kata, down, and bole comes from the verb bellow, which means to throw down. And if you look it up in various lexicons, see like here, you can see strictly casting down. Casting down. And these are the passages where you can find this. Okay? And notice, let's just take one of them. Have a look at Matthew 13, right? And we'll just quickly look at it because it all fits together with this idea of a judgment and some sort of typical filling, which later on is fulfilled. The type and then the fulfillment of the type. Okay, let's have a look at this. This is in Matthew 13. And notice the chapter number. As I say, these numbers are many times very instructive in themselves. 13, associated with rebellion, right? Rebellion. Matthew 13 and verse 35. Another parable spake he unto them. Parable. That's an interesting word in itself. Because a parable is a parabole, alongside, something thrown alongside. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and this is verse 33, and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Notice, he's only speaking in parables now. At this juncture, he's only speaking in parables. Well, why? Why is he just speaking in parables? What do you mean? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is this? What is this? Speaking in parables. Why does he just come out and speak, man? Just speak plain. You guys are going to do this. In the future, this is going to happen. Just plain language. Just speak plain. Have you ever asked that question? Look what it says up here. Verse 10. Okay, we'll come back to this one here. But you know, it's a good question, isn't it? Why are these parables? Well, the question has already been asked. In Matthew 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Good question, man. I got the same question. Why? Why are you doing this? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you guys to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not given. Whoa! Oh, man, this is a hard doctrine, this one, isn't it? This is a hard one to swallow, man. Because what you've got to get is that, yes, mankind has got a free will. The nation of Israel is made up of people who have free wills. And they decided to respond to the message that Jesus brought to say, no, I'm not going to do this. The Spirit will work in their lives as the message was, the gospel of the kingdom was proclaimed to them. The gospel of the kingdom. Here is your king. Here is your Messiah. Repent. Repent. Change your mind. And what happened was, well, you can just read it. I mean, just read the run-up to chapter 13, 11 and 12. No, not going to have this one, this man. We won't have this man. So once that occurred, you find that God then starts to harden them and starts to withdraw things from them. Why? So that he will use their disobedience and their rebellion against God to further his purposes in doing what? In redeeming them. Isn't it the most remarkable thing? That God and his wise counsels will use their disobedience. He doesn't make them hard. He doesn't, from the foundation of the world, say, okay, these people I'm going to make to actually hate me and they won't be resurrected. I'm not going to resurrect these people. I'm just going to use them for my purposes. No. What he does is he uses ministers, apostles, prophets, And he brings the message to them so that they can, from their own free will, they have the libertarian free will to choose, and they say no to God. And he'll still go after them. Still go after them. And finally what happens is he says, okay, you want it your way? I'll use you. I'll use you. And what you're going to do is you're going to reject my son, and my son will go to the cross on Calvary and die for you. Look at Paul. What was Paul doing? He was the leader of the rebellion against Messiah. And what happened to him? He gets saved. You see? It's a remarkable thing. Okay, so we see that in the scriptures. It's here, black and white. Now, as we come down here, in verse 35, it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Oh, so this is a fulfillment of prophecy. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. There was some sort of overthrow. Some sort of, have you heard of the English word? Catabolic. Catabolic, right? Some sort of overthrow going on here. Some sort of catabolic process occurred back here. It's this foundation. And it says, from the foundation of the world. From it. And what we find in the scriptures is this purpose of God, which has to do with, first of all, a purpose of filling, because the catabolic process is just that, right? It's a judgment. Some sort of judgment comes on the earth. And then what God does is he starts off his purposes. He starts off his purpose in filling this thing. And he's going to use Israel to do it, right? So it goes on, and he says in verse 35, just the last clause, I'll just repeat it. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So there are secret purposes which were hid down. Now, if you go back into the prophets, at surface or below surface level, you'll find secrets. And these secrets can be brought to the surface through some divine inspired apostle, like Paul during the book of Acts, like Peter, like the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle and prophet, right? Bring these things to the surface and show them and what purpose they have. And these are in these parables. That's what he's doing. He's bringing these things up that, yeah, okay, you guys, you're rebelling, you people here, you're rebelling, and therefore I'm going to speak in parables so that only my little flock is going to understand, and the rest of you guys, you're going to go against me. But there's some purposes in here that people later on can read about, and with eyes to see, they'll understand this. Right, they'll get to understand this. So, if you go on, here's another one. Look at Matthew 25. I mean, we're not going to go through all these. I just want to show you some of them, right? Matthew 25 and verse 34. And it says this, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. Can you see that? Right? The kingdom purposes brought out by the prophets. From the foundation of the world. Okay, well that's kind of interesting. And we can run these through. But I want to show you another one. And here comes one of them. There's three of them. The preposition changes. Look at this. See over here? It says, before. Before. I heard one preacher say, oh yeah, but you know, before and from is just the same thing. You know, when you treat the scriptures like that because it's not fitting into your doctrine, you know, that's nonsense. You're just going to have a withdrawal of light if you do that. Light is going to be taken from you. So it says this, John 17:24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Okay, so before the foundation of the world, there was this unique love between the Father and the Son. And it's before. Now, before an event and from an event, or after an event, these are very different prepositions, right? And what is a preposition? Well, it prepositions where you're going to go with the verb, right? It's a very important thing. The flow of the water, right? It's a very important thing. So we carry on. Now look at this. Here are the three places where you get this before the foundation of the world. Okay? Before the foundation of the world. So in John 17:24, you've got, okay, before the foundation of the world, that's his love between the Father and the Son. Now go down to 1 Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained, that's he was known about before the foundation of the world, before the foundation, that's before that time, that katabole, that judgment, but was manifest in these last times for you. These last times. You see, the last times relate to the prophetic age. These last times. Who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these. So he was foreordained, he was loved before the foundation of the world. Now look what Paul says. And when I say Paul, I mean Paul the prisoner. Why is that important? That's important because it's Paul the prisoner that answers the question, what happens if the mediatorial kingdom, that is Israel, the ones who are supposed to be the nation of priests, the one who is supposed to be the salt of the earth, that was supposed to be used of God as his channel of blessing to all the nations and bring the truth of Messiah to the whole world, what's going to happen when they say to God? What's going to happen when they say, I'm not going to do that job. I don't want that job. Then what's going to happen? What's going to happen to all of humanity when the priests say, I don't like my job? You know? That's a good question, don't you think? That is answered by Paul the prisoner. And it's surprising, man. It's an eye-opener. And what we have is this in Ephesians 1:4. Let's go there. Right? It's not so good to read it on the screen here. I think it's best to get a bit of an eyeball of this thing in the scriptures. So in Ephesians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, good word, right? Right there, Paul. And all of his epistles begin with his name, Paul. Very unique. And he gives his token in each of his letters. He does it by bringing up the message of grace. As he says, like if you read in chapter 6, verse 23, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. What's that? That's where he gets the pen and he writes it with his own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. He doesn't write physically the whole epistle. He has Tertius to come, and he speaks it, and Tertius writes it down, but then he comes to Tertius and he says, give me that quill, man. And he writes with his own hand his signature on there. His signature being this business about grace and so on. He writes it down. Why? Because there were fakers in those days, man. People that trying to make out that they have the letter from Paul when they just made it up themselves. So he'd write it out and make sure that people could see his own hand. And people there would be saying, yeah, I've seen Paul's hand before. That's his. That's his. That's his signature right there. You can't fake that. Boy, have we got some fake stuff going on in the news media today. Wow. Impeachments. Oh, man. Shifty shift. I've never seen eyes like it. Oh, man. Okay. Well, let's not get off into that. We better stay here. So, Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Stop. Stop. Wait. It says here, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You don't find this anywhere else. This is the hope set forward in heavenly places. Now it says, verse 4, according, here comes the verse, as he hath chosen us in him before. Now, here's the choice that God's made. Okay? It's not the choice to save you. No. It's not about your personal salvation. No, no. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He's going to take us. And he's going to put us into this special body where we will be raised up eventually and given a body which will experience the sonship and love. And our home, it will be in the heavenly places. This brand new hope. So we have this wonderful choice which goes back before the foundation of the world. This is not given to anyone else. You don't find this anywhere else. Okay? It's a special one given to us. It goes back before the foundation of the world, where we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is shown this great love between the Father and the Son, where there was this great foreordination of him. And these things, of course, we discover are brought to the greatest realization in the revelation of this mystery, which no one knew about. Yeah, there were secrets in time past. They were just below the surface of the scriptures, which divine, holy men of God could bring out their truths. But the mystery here was completely hid in God and kept away from these. Okay, let's carry on. And let's now just quickly show you the first massive break, the katabole, as best as we can locate it. I mean, it's a good question to ask, isn't it? Where does the katabole occurred? Where is it? Where did it happen? Well, let's go back to Genesis. See if we can find it, right? Genesis, chapter number 1. And verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's just read it like, you know, just sensible people. In the beginning, we don't know when that beginning was, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I want to show you something about this verse. There's something remarkable about this verse. If we take revelation that was given to Paul later on, who shows you that Jesus is the arche. He is the beginning. So there's a spiritual lesson in here. If we take that knowledge that Paul gives us about who Jesus is and put it in here, we'll see something like this. In the beginning, that is, in Jesus Christ, God, that's Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. In other words, in the purposes of God, there was this creation which is going to be reformed through Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like the heaven and the earth as it would be originally created. God simply would speak things into existence. Bang! He creates the heaven and the earth. And then, verse 2, and the earth was, which means became, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, it's kind of interesting. If you look at these words, you'll find that it says tohu vabohu, without form and void. That's the Hebrew, tohu vabohu. And if you look up tohu, for example, I'm not talking about, you know, the replacement for meat. then you'll find these places where it's mentioned. It's mentioned here. Now, the place where I want to draw your attention is this, Isaiah 45:18. Look at this. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it. Look at it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. He didn't create it in vain. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did it. It was not created in vain. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void. So, if he didn't create it that way, it must have become that way. It became that way. He created it, and it became that way. Here is our katabole. Here is our overthrow. The overthrow occurred there. And then what we find is, as the scriptures continue, is we're going to find now the various ways in which he's going to fill this. He's now going to fill it. And there's various ways he would do that. Now, this is the bohu, the emptiness. Okay. Look at this. If you read chapter 34, verse 11 of Isaiah, but the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also, and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. Here's the bohu, the emptiness. This is in the context of judgment. That's the context. The context here is judgment. Jeremiah 4:23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. The same expression. And the heavens, and they had no light. Judgment. That's the context here of judgment. He didn't create it that way. It became that way because of judgment. Judgment came on it. And then what we're going to find is how things are going to fill that. How is that going to be filled? Okay, and we'll read more about how it's going to be filled later on. I did have a whole lot more, but because I'm getting long-winded, you know, I didn't quite get there. There's a lot more in this about the fullness, right? Like, for example, here, look at this. In the heavenly places, unique. In tois epuranios. That is where our home is. Nothing like it, only brought out by Paul the prisoner. We'll discover more about this, more about the fullness. Well, I'm done, not out of material, but am out of time. Rock and roll, man. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time. We ask, Lord, you'd help us and guide us as we go through the scriptures and tie things together and understand, Lord, thy purposes and then our unique place in all of this, something separate from Israel, something different, Lord, that's not talked about much in Christianity. Lord, we ask that you'd guide this assembly, Lord, in thy time. Bless it. Let the people around the earth go to the website and find out these truths. Lord, we ask you'd help us to bring this truth to people so that they could be taken out of the darkness of cults and wrong doctrines that are keeping them enslaved. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.